Not yet available in Iowa.
Long live the king.
Long live the king!
Queen with a mustache.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many kings are only a queen with a mustache. But we all believe it's a king, don't we?
Yes.
And since we have no clothes for the king, this will have to be a story about a king who had no clothes. And about a little boy who only believed what he saw.
That's you.
Well, one day, two swindlers came to see the king to sell him what they said was a magic suit of clothes. Now, the king was very fond of new clothes, so he said, well, let me see it. But there wasn't any suit of clothes. You see, the swindlers held up their hands like this, and they said, Your Majesty, this is a magic suit. And you, being very wise and very intelligent, can see how beautiful it is. But to a fool, it is absolutely invisible. Well, he said, I see. Not wanting to appear a fool, he added, Yes, indeed. I see it perfectly. It's beautiful. Isn't it grand? Isn't it fine? Look at the cut, the style, the line. The suit of clothes is altogether, but altogether it's altogether the most remarkable suit of clothes that I have ever seen. These eyes of mine at once determined the sleeves are velvet, the cape is ermine, the hose are blue, and the doublet is a lovely shade of green.
A lovely shade of green!
Somebody sent for the queen.
The queen came, and she was told very quickly how all the wise people could see the...
magic suit.
That's right. And naturally, not wanting to appear a fool, she said, Oh, isn't it grand? Isn't it rich? Look at the charm of every stitch. The suit of clothes is altogether, but altogether, it's altogether the most remarkable suit of clothes that I have ever seen. These eyes of mine at once determined the sleeves are velvet, the cape is ermine, the hose are blue, and the doublet is a lovely shade of green.
A lovely shade of green!
Summon the court to convene. And all the court came, and the ministers came, and the ambassadors came, and naturally, not wanting to seem like fools, they quickly agreed with the...
king and queen.
So the king issued a proclamation as follows.
The suit of clothes is altogether, but altogether is altogether the most remarkable suit of clothes a tailor ever made. Now quickly, put it all together with gloves of leather and hat and feather is altogether the thing to wear at Saturday's parade.
Saturday's parade!
Leading the royal brigade.
Well, by this time, everybody had heard about the king's new clothes and that he was going to wear them in Saturday's parade. The people lined the streets as the artillery came by, and the infantry came by, and the cavalry came by, and the fife and drum corps and the royal guard, and finally, the king. And everybody cheered, Hooray! Because nobody wanted to appear a fool. Nobody, that is, except one little boy who, for some strange reason, hadn't heard about the king's new magic suit. And didn't know what he was supposed to see. Well, he took one look at the king, turned a little pale, and said, Look at the king.
The king isn't the altogether, but altogether, the altogether. He's altogether as naked as the day that he was born. The altogether, but altogether, the altogether, it's altogether the very least the king has ever worn. Call the court physician, call an intermission. His majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether as naked as the day that he was born. And it's altogether too chilly a mort.
Welcome to Crash. Are you ready? This is your host, Droid Fifehurst Barry. And we played that delightful bumper music with Danny Kaye to introduce a distinguished scholar, Dr. Charles L. Geschechter. Dr. Geschechter is a Ph.D. and also a three-time Fulbright scholar who teaches African history at California State University in Chico. And he has also served as an advisor to the U.S. State Department and several African governments. Dr. Geschechter is a member of the growing list of scholars whom we've had on this program who are like the little boy who believed only what he saw about the HIV/AIDS scam and said, look at the king, look at the king. The king is as naked as the day that he was born. Dr. Geschechter, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Is your doctorate in African studies, African history?
Yes, it's from UCLA. I have my PhD in African history.
Okay, and how did you get initially, what is the process that led you to be skeptical of the official HIV causes AIDS explanation of the rampant diseases in Africa?
Well, it's been a long road. I would say it started back in the late 1980s, say roughly 20 years ago. I was traveling very frequently to a very rough neighborhood in Africa, Somalia, and did most of my field work in Somalia and eastern Ethiopia and Djibouti. And I saw with my own eyes the wretched poverty and the unsanitary living conditions, the poor, almost unavailable clean drinking water, and the fact that most people I encountered suffered from malaria, tuberculosis, and a variety of diseases associated with malnutrition. Now, it was about that time I came to recognize that the definition of an AIDS case in Africa or in Djibouti or Ethiopia or Somalia was decisively and profoundly different than the definition of an AIDS case here in California, presumably the state where AIDS was born. And so I did what I guess any scholar or any historian would do. I just began to read more widely, and I began to read more widely in the medical literature and biology as well, not looking for anything in particular, but just trying to make sense of this in order to explain
with an open mind
to my students, because it was one of the lectures I would give to my students in the late 80s. It just didn't hang together. For example, the whole notion that in Africa you have this rampant, out-of-control sort of sexual athleticism among black folks, and that is what's the explanation for the AIDS epidemic. And I can tell you, George, in the countries that I have worked in, sex is very often the last thing on people's minds because of lack of privacy, lack of time, lack of energy, and the fact that they are suffering from so many other kinds of diseases. And that is when I realized that the definition of AIDS, of an AIDS case in Africa, included four symptoms, all of which I had had, for example, which is, you know, a persistent cough, a high fever, loose stools for 14 days, and a 10% loss of body weight. Well, working in the deserts of Somalia, I can tell you that I suffered from all of those symptoms, but when I got on a plane magically and went from Mogadishu to Rome and Rome to San Francisco and back home to Chico, and I took some anti-diarrheal tablets, I was well. And so it led me to say, facetiously, of course, gee, maybe the cure for AIDS is to get on an international plane ride. So it led me to be skeptical about what was I supposedly was seeing with my own eyes. Now, the next thing I began to do was simply to ask people calmly and quietly, what are you suffering from here? I did the same thing in South Africa when I was in Zululand. I found that rural folks in Africa were not mystified at all. They knew exactly what was going on. They didn't have clean water. Kids and adults would go and, you know, produce human waste in areas close to where food was being prepared. They suffered from river-borne diseases, protein anemia, and malnutrition, which is the leading cause of poverty and a symptom of immune suppression. And so it wasn't that magical. You didn't have to look very far for an alternative explanation for what was making Africans sick in the first place.
All right. It wasn't that magical, and so you didn't see the magic suit. Now, these conditions have been with us. We'll take this up after the break. These conditions have been with the Africans for how long? I mean, aren't they Didn't they exist before the so-called diagnosis of HIV/AIDS? We'll be back after the break with Dr.
Call
Charles Schechter.
Call an intermission. His Majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether, isn't he?
What will you do when the economy collapses, store shelves are empty, and your stored food is gone? How will you feed your family? True self-sufficiency and peace of mind is being able to grow a wide range of crops, ensuring a well-balanced diet for your family. GetSeeds.net is offering 100 different varieties of GM-free vegetable seeds for only $49 with free shipping. You get over 14,000 seeds for only $49. We offer a complete range of seeds, including heirloom tomatoes, old-fashioned beans, carrots, sweet corn, peppers, cucumbers, celery, broccoli, onions, cauliflower, asparagus, spinach, melons, and a whole lot more. This is one of the finest, most affordable seed offers that is on the market today. Variety in your garden means a diverse and healthy diet for your family year-round. So go to GetSeeds.net or call 1-877-394-6657. Supplies are limited, so order today. That's GetSeeds.net or 1-877-394-6657.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Are you one of the millions of sinus and allergy sufferers? Is your nose stuffed up? Do you experience sinus headaches, allergy symptoms, infections, or post-nasal drip? Does your treatment improve your body's disease-fighting function, or are you simply treating the symptoms? The Sinu Plus Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System effectively cleanses your sinuses and upper airways of all fungi, bacteria, and pathogens, and clears your sinuses gently and pleasantly. Recommended by leading physicians and healthcare professionals for sinus and allergy symptoms, the Sinu Pulse Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System is a natural, very gentle, and soothing drug-free device to relieve symptoms caused by sinus infections, allergies, and the common cold, including post-nasal drip, cough, congestion, sinus headaches, and irritated nasal passages. SinuPulse is available now by calling 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871. Or order online at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com, your source for the most powerful nutraceuticals and wellness protocols from a doctor you can trust.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Look at the king. Look at the king. Look at the king. The king. The king. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether as naked as the day that he was born. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, it's altogether the very least the king has ever worn.
Call the court physician.
Welcome back, and again, as we were going into the break, we were talking with Dr. Geschechter about the conditions that he observed in Africa, the unsanitary water, et cetera, et cetera. So now let me see if I've got this straight. Before unsanitary water certainly existed before Robert Gallo concocted his so-called theory that the HIV retrovirus, which they've never found to this day, a quarter century later, causes human immune deficiency. We've interviewed Dr. Bauer, and of course there is no statistical correlation whatsoever in the United States itself between diagnoses of HIV and diagnoses of AIDS. The vast majority of diagnoses of HIV are in rural populations in cities, or urban populations in cities, and the vast majority of diagnoses of AIDS are in rural areas like the Deep South. So if you had an infection vector, would you not have a correlation between the incidence of diagnoses of HIV and AIDS regionally? Well, there is none. And so it becomes even more absurd when we talk about the situation in Africa. Now, I'm just quoting from one of your excellent articles here, and I would urge all of my listeners to go to Dr. Geschechter's website, virusmyth.com. You can go there directly, or you can go to my website, which, of course, is hearitonline.com. Look in the guest section for today, and you will link over, click on the guest for Monday, January 12th, Charles Geschechter, and you will link over to Charles' website over at virusmyth.com. And I would urge all of my listeners to read the articles which are on that website. Now, I'm just going to read some excerpts. This is something that you wrote in The New African in October, all the way back in October 1994. And here we have this quote from Dr. Shiokawa. He says the African AIDS epidemic, he said, could be brought under control only if Africans restrained their sexual cravings. Now, that sounds rather racist to me, but now reading another excerpt here, the World Health Organization claims that 10 million HIV-positive Africans are responsible for 300,000 cases of AIDS reported since 1981. Well, there again, if you had 10 million HIV-positive Africans and they're tremendously sexually promiscuous, how could you only have 300,000 cases of AIDS reported since 1981? That statistically doesn't make any sense. And I read on the face of it, this seems to be a catastrophe. Unlike in developed countries, where over 90% of AIDS cases are homosexual males, intravenous drug users, and blood transfusion recipients, African AIDS is supposedly suffered by men and women in equal numbers who contract it. There again, it doesn't make any sense why AIDS would be so-called primarily homosexual in one region if it's a sexually transmitted disease and heterosexually transmitted in another region like Africa. It makes no sense whatsoever. But continuing on, where over 90% of AIDS cases are homosexual males, intravenous drug users, and blood transfusion recipients, African AIDS is supposedly suffered by men and women in equal numbers who contract it, presumably from heterosexual intercourse. The African figures are often cited by the AIDS establishment and safe sex activists in Europe and the United States to prove that, quote, everyone, unquote, is at risk. Now, reading this excerpt here on the following page, no one has ever shown that people in Rwanda, Uganda, Zaire, and Kenya, the so-called quote-unquote AIDS belt, are more sexually active than people in Nigeria, which has reported only 722 AIDS cases out of a population of 100 million, or Cameroon, which reported 2,870 cases in 20 million. Scientists dismiss the notion that males from any continent or region are more addicted to sex than those from another because testosterone levels, the measure of sexual vigor in men, never varies more than a tiny fraction of a percent anywhere in the world. And I read on, in 1991, researchers from the French group Médecins Sans Frontières at the Harvard School of Public Health conducted a survey of sexual behavior in the Moyo district of Northwest Uganda. Their findings revealed behavior which was not very different from that of the West. Professor Geschechter, what's going on here?
Well, it brings you right back to the wonderful little song of Danny Kaye. There's something really and truly, I mean, there is truly something drastically wrong here, and I've argued it's not too late for us to change directions and to begin to point out, for example, these statistics from nowhere, these numbers from nowhere. Whenever you read a statistic, I would say, George, statistics, I tell my students, I mean, as an economic historian, statistics about any aspect of human life are not like rocks that are just lying around on the ground and we go and pick them up and examine them. Statistics like the ones you've been discussing about Africa are all created by someone, and you must ask the question, who created this number? Why did they create this number? And what do they expect to do with this number? And in the case of AIDS in Africa, big, bloated, forever larger numbers are the key to sustaining what has really become a kind of public trough, a kind of eating frenzy at a huge amount of money, in which even if nothing good is produced, these people will tell you in 20 years or in 30 years, sometimes set way into the future, these following things will occur. So Africa, I would suggest, is the continent that has the poorest kind of statistics and record keeping, and in that regard, it provided a bountiful harvest, a rich harvest of these kinds of fear statistics, this kind of alarmism, and these, you said, presumably racist. No, they are more than that. They are absolutely racist charges about Africans and behavior. One point, George, in 2000, the International AIDS Conference convened in Durban, you know, big seaport in the Republic of South Africa. Now, one thing I noticed when I was in South Africa in 2000, in June and July, I went all over rural Zululand to the northeast of Durban. I went all the way up near the Mozambique border into a very impoverished area called Maputa Land. And one thing that struck me in a country with a large white population, the whites probably are 4 million in South Africa, I'll tell you where the culture of sex and pornography and free drugs and, you know, open prostitution was. It wasn't in the African areas. It was in the very upscale Tony areas of Cape Town and Durban, the last places you find AIDS in South Africa.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll be back after the break.
Call an intermission. His Majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether, isn't he?
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the builders of the Twin Towers taken down in the 9-1-1 episode said that the steel would not melt unless there was a sustained temperature of 3,000 degrees? The immediate impact created temperatures of 2,000 degrees for about 15 to 20 seconds, not long enough to even begin the melting process. The fire continued at about 1,100 degrees. fire could not have been the cause for the Twin Towers to collapse. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch magazine. All you have to do is call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now while operators are standing by to receive your call.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times, in the last days, many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark an implanted chip, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Some believe these things are in the future. Others believe that it's in the past. 1 John states, the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth? And what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's word for the truth? Friends, these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write to The Bible Says, Box 99, Lenore City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 888-211-1715. That's 888-211-1715.
Have you ever wanted to generate your own supply of electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Solar-powered generators are now available from Solutions from Science, one of GCN's oldest and most trusted sponsors. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity for free. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, and even keep food from spoiling. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com and get off the grid today. That's mysolarbackup.com today. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Don't wait. Call today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Look at the king. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether as naked as the day that he was born. The king's in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, it's altogether the very least the king has ever worn.
Call the court physician, call an intermission. His majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn. The king is in the altogether, but altogether.
All right,
altogether,
we're back. We're Dr. Geschechter, and as we were going into the break, that's another interesting statistic where you have the areas that are predominantly white in South Africa, which have the highest incidence of sexual promiscuity and the least amount of diagnoses of HIV/AIDS, whereas the racist format that they've adopted is that the reason that these black Africans are suffering and dying from AIDS is because they're so sexually promiscuous. Let me read a little bit more from your excellent article here. The definition of AIDS, as we've had revealed to us in previous interviews, is not even the same in Africa as it is in the West. So I read this excerpt. But in Africa, the term AIDS is used to describe symptoms associated with a number of previously known diseases. In the mid-1980s, these common diseases were suddenly reclassified as, quote, special opportunistic AIDS-related infections, unquote. And Africans were warned to change their sexual practices through abstinence, monogamy, or condoms, or they would die. Hilary Standing, a British medical anthropologist and AIDS researcher, concedes that African, quote, risk populations are assumed rather than revealed. So it's an article of faith. Do you believe? So why are AIDS cases in Africa near that's very scientific. So why are AIDS cases in Africa nearly evenly divided between men and women? The answer lies in the World Health Organization's definition of quote-unquote AIDS in Africa, which differs decisively from AIDS in the West. The WHO's clinical case definition for AIDS in Africa, adopted in 1985, is not based on an HIV test or T-cell counts, but on the combined symptoms of chronic diarrhea, prolonged fever, 10% body weight loss in 2 months, and a persistent cough, none of which are new or uncommon on the African continent. So here we have a kind of backwards winding argument where the magic suit is that the definition of the mystery retrovirus, which can cause human immune deficiency, is defined as things that already existed before the so-called discovery by Robert Gallo. How in the world do we make any sense of this? I read on, HIV tests are notoriously unreliable in Africa. A 1994 study in the Journal of Infectious Diseases concluded that HIV tests were useless in Central Africa, where the microbes responsible for tuberculosis, malaria, and leprosy were so prevalent that they registered over 70% false positive results. Dr. Schechter, what in the world is going on here? This is insanity, not science.
Well, when I hear you read this again, and I realize that I wrote it 15 years ago, I remark to myself, I wouldn't change a word in that. In fact, there's a vast amount of good data in medical and scientific journals that confirms exactly what I was saying there. I'm interested in sharing with your audience an observation made very recently in the New York Review of Books by a woman named Marcia Angel. And Marcia Angel was, for 20 years, the lead editor of one of the top medical journals in this country, the New England Journal of Medicine. And listen to what she wrote in the New York Review of Books, the issue dated January 15th, coming up this week. She said, similar conflicts of interest and bias exist in virtually every field of medicine, particularly those that rely heavily on drugs or devices. It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reached slowly and reluctantly over my two decades as the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, she has since resigned from that position about 2 years ago in sheer disgust and annoyance at what became very obvious to her as an editor. It comes back to one of my major points here, which is that in Africa, where you do not have a kind of well-informed, critical-thinking body of literature or radio programs like yours, for example, or even more freedom of the press, this has provided a very fertile field for some of these obviously preposterous and ridiculous claims, which you're pointing out one after another. But I will tell you this. If, in fact, you begin to point these things out to these mainline AIDS researchers, you can see their minds close. Because what you're dealing with, George, in raising these questions is something that psychologist Steven Pinker of Harvard called the mentality of taboo. Even raising these issues is considered taboo. Even posing these questions will contribute somehow or other to suffering on the part of people in Africa. And, of course, it's been my contention for years that you will never cure AIDS in Africa until you first cure the research. And it's the research, yeah, which is so loopy and so self-sustaining and so preposterous in many ways.
All right, so what they're saying is, in effect, it's just we shouldn't be concentrating on cleaning up the water and helping them to get clean water. We should be pursuing the magic suit, the retrovirus, which the HIV test doesn't even test for, because we just know that's the problem. It's not unsanitary water or anything like that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the first one.
Because we have to decrease their suffering.
listen, slogans work. After a while, with the media in particular, there has been a lapse of critical judgment, a refusal to ask hard questions of the naked king, so to speak. And instead, many journalists in the world just simply repeat exactly what the king has told them and never challenge the king at all. And if you do challenge the king, then you are transgressing into the realm of the mentality of taboo. And those who have, in fact, had the nerve and the guts and the courage to challenge these things have really felt retribution, punishment, and vilification from these people, because they know that what we are suggesting as critics dare not be true, because they are going to have a lot to answer for to the public in this country and in Africa as well. So slogans like, you know, be wise, condomize, use a condom, save a life, condomize the continent of Africa, that seems to be doable in as opposed to clean water or eradicating tuberculosis or dealing with malaria or malnutrition. And as a result, large budgets have been developed. Advocacy organizations with their slogans and their conferences and their ribbons.
Funded by whom? Funded either directly or indirectly, either covertly or overtly by whom would be a very interesting question.
The answer is right there. It's a conjunction of the pharmaceutical industry, which is very interested in a pill for every ill, and the federal government's bureaucracy. The two work hand in hand. That's exactly where the funding comes from. And if you are not on board with AIDS being caused by a virus, you can forget about getting any kind of international funding or research. You can, in fact, easily be shut out of international conferences because the AIDS authorities perform a kind of a watchdog function in which they decide which papers are published, as Marcia Angel points out, and which papers are even presented at international conferences. I can tell you this for a fact, George, because for several years in the 90s, I was a member of the Executive Council of the American Association for Advancement of Science, and I can tell you firsthand what happened to me when I raised these very questions at our own conference.
Let's take that up after the break in the final segment of our program.
The king has ever worn. Hold the court position. Call an intermission. His majesty is wide open to ridicule and scorn. The king is in the altogether, but altogether, the altogether, he's altogether, isn't he?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today, 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about the newest hydrogen technology available. GasFreedom is an affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil companies don't want you to know. Learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car and experience the most powerful hydrogen cells available. Visit gasfreedom.info and receive $59.95 off of your order by using coupon code GCN. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit, 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance, that's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipska, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
What did happen to you? As we were going into the break, when you broke taboo and said the king is as naked as the day that he was born.
Well, George, once again, I followed the protocol. We had our Pacific Division meeting of the American Association for Advancement of Science in June of 1994 at San Francisco State University. And I was the chairman of the History of Science section for the largest division of this national organization. So I put together a panel called The Role of HIV in AIDS, Why There Is Still a Controversy, and got all the abstracts, all the credentials from, I think, 11 different speakers, and it was going to be about a three-hour symposium. It got completely approved by the local organization in San Francisco, and then when it was published in the newsletter of the division in April of 94, people in Washington and New York and Los Angeles went absolutely ballistic. And I had Kerry Mullis on the program. He was the 1993 Nobel laureate in biochemistry, you know, not a small, insignificant award. And I had journalists and I had biologists and I had some attorneys and I gave my you know, speech on Africa. The AAAS intervened, and there were two threats. Either one, this whole thing would be shut down unless there was, quote, balance, unquote, in the program.
Fair and balanced.
Or two, I had to concede to an 8 or 9 different speakers added to the program. So I decided, you know, this might be fun. Let us see if they add another 7 or 8 speakers to the program. What happens when we confront those people in an open debate? And you can look this up. It's been widely reported. Neville Hodgkinson, the editor of Science in those days from the London Times, reported this in his book. I would have to tell you, George, without sounding immodest, it was the academic equivalent of a drive-by shooting. I mean, we massacred these guys. Their intellectual muscles had so withered and atrophied. They were not used to the kind of barrage of questions and taunts and finger-pointing that we engaged in. And it was a smashing success in my mind as the moderator and the organizer of the whole thing. The thing went on for 8 hours on June 21st, 1994, And they didn't want us to even leave. The audience was fascinated with all the fireworks. But in the end, about 4 months later, I found that there was a major reorganization of the Pacific Division, and my services were no longer needed as the chairman of the History of Science section. So I was suddenly removed from my position, and that was the last I ever heard from the Pacific Division, you know, in terms of my work.
To make the so-called scientific debate fair and balanced, they certainly did make it scientific from that point on, it sounds like. Let's exclude anyone who breaks taboo and says the king is as naked as he was born. So we have a common thread here, listeners. Look what happened to Dr. Geschechter, and then look what happened, of course, to the infamous treatment of Dr. Peter Duesberg. But the truth is coming out. Gene Linzer and the issue of Discover magazine was stunned to find that many top scientists Gene Linzer, who wrote the feature article on Dr. Duesberg, was stunned to find out that the vast many top scientists privately agree with Dr. Duesberg that a retrovirus cannot cause human immune deficiency, but they were afraid to speak out. And that fact stunned Gene Linzer, who wrote the article, the fact that they were afraid to speak out. Of course, Dr. Peter Duesberg, whom Robert Gallo himself has called the world's leading retrovirologist, has pointed out that if a retroviruses being the most harmless viruses known to exist, if a retrovirus could cause human immune deficiency, you and I, Dr. Geschechter, would not be having this interview today because everyone would be dead. We have Dr. Bauer, as mentioned previously in this program, correlating the statistics between HIV diagnoses and AIDS diagnoses in this country, and there is no correlation whatsoever, as we previously pointed out. None whatsoever. If you had an infection vector, you'd have to have some kind of correlation between diagnoses of HIV and diagnoses of AIDS. And in fact, the HIV test doesn't even test for the retrovirus. It tests for general immune response. They've never found the so-called retrovirus. And then in your article here today, we have how could an infection vector be primarily homosexual in the West and yet be heterosexual in Africa? This is going into the theater of the absurd.
It just goes to show you what a brilliant and intelligent retrovirus of 10 protons this HIV may be, George. It's smarter than we are. What can I tell you?
Well, I'd like to put this together here because that's another reason I love my job. We have many different interesting topics, and one of the topics is reverse speech. And the interesting thing about the subconscious mind is that the subconscious mind is incapable of lying. So no matter what a criminal or politician, etc., is saying in direct speech, it always comes out in the reversal. Now, this is highly controversial. I've had very intelligent people say, oh, this is couldn't possibly be, and yet other very intelligent people say, here's the scientific evidence. We don't know why it works, just like we don't know how electricity works to this day. We use electricity, but we cannot explain why it works. Well, here is this speech by President Bush, and in the reversal, let's listen to what his subconscious says. The brilliant discoverer of reverse speech, of course, is David John Oates, who's a regular on our program. John, could you play that reversal, please?
We will also lead a nationwide effort, working closely with African-American churches and faith-based groups to deliver rapid HIV tests to millions.
And he says in reverse, the deal is hollow. John, could you play that once more, please?
We will also lead a nationwide effort, working closely with African-American churches and faith-based groups to deliver rapid HIV tests to millions.
All right, so there you have it. The deal is hollow. And with your years and background in traveling extensively through Africa, now what has been the you mentioned, of course, the drug companies are certainly not a neutral party in all of this, but what has been the increase or decrease or maybe the same amount of drugs being hiked to these African people?
Well, boy, that's a whole big other topic. I think the movie, The Constant Gardener, which is a wonderful thriller film, shows what happens when you begin to question whether these drugs are doing any good or whether, in fact, they are contributing to great harm in Africa. Once again, I think the studies show quite clearly that if you're talking about drugs for AIDS symptoms, these drugs have absolutely no effect on controlling diarrhea or high fever or weight loss. But if the focus is on this surrogate marker, this so-called HIV test, then perhaps that's where allegedly the effect is taking place. Now, the fact of the matter remains, there are some interesting numbers that these people have great difficulty explaining. For example, if, in fact, AIDS is sweeping Africa and causing tremendous numbers of deaths everywhere, you're left with the fact that in the early 1980s, when AIDS began, the population of Africa was estimated at about 650 million. 25, 26, 27 years later, the population of Africa is estimated at over 900 million. Now, surely this cannot be due to the miraculous effect of these drugs, which have only been introduced recently. You have to look elsewhere. You have to look elsewhere for your answers to what is making Africans sick and how we can make them better, and it's not in these drugs.
Well, we know it couldn't possibly be the unsanitary water. We know that for sure. It must be the magic suit. Well, this hour has passed so far too quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Certainly, it's my pleasure. Thank you, George.
All right.
The Royal Guard, and finally, the King. And everybody cheered, hooray! Because nobody wanted to appear a fool. Nobody, that is, except one little boy who, for some strange reason, hadn't heard about the King's new magic suit and didn't know what he was supposed to see. Well, he took one look at the King, turned a little pale, and said,
"Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Did you miss your favorite shows on GCN today? Thanks to the continued support of our listeners, subscribers, and sponsors, we are proud to bring the GCN audience a new and exciting way to listen called On Demand. Available on GCNLive.com, On Demand plays each show continuously until the next time the show goes live. It's simple to use. Just go to GCNLive.com, click on the On Demand button, and find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get On Demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNLive.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.